But you have no right to call me a murderer. You have a right to kill me. You have a right to do that. But you have no right to judge me. It's impossible through words to describe what is necessary to those who do not know what horror means. Horror. Horror has a face, and you must make a friend of horror. Horror and moral terror are your friends. If they are not, then they are enemies to be feared. They are truly enemies. I remember when I was with Special Forces. Seems 1,000 centuries ago. We went into a camp to inoculate some children. We left the camp after we had inoculated the children for polio. And this old man came running after us, and he was crying. He couldn't say. We went back there, and they had come and hacked off every inoculated arm. There they were in a pile. Pile of little arms. And I remember I cried. I wept like some grandmother. I wanted to tear my teeth out. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I want to remember it. I never want to forget it. I never want to forget. And then I realized, like I was shot. Like I was shot with a diamond. A diamond bullet right through my forehead. And I thought, my God, the genius of that. The genius. The will to do that. Perfect, genuine, complete, crystalline, pure. And then I realized they were stronger than me because they could stand it. These were not monsters. These were men, trained cadres. These men who fought with their hearts, who have families, who have children, who are filled with love. But they had the strength. The strength. If I had 10 divisions of those men, then our troubles here would be over very quickly. You have to have men who are moral and at the same time who are able to utilize their primordial instincts to kill without feeling, without passion, without judgment, without judgment. Because it's judgment that defeats us.
Insurgent Radio. Oh, White Aryan Resistance calling. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get over that. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is White Aryan Resistance, and this is Terrible Tommy. Tom Metzger, right here next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse and Filling Station, where we sell regular and ethyl, yeah, and a little bit of diesel, yeah. It's, let's see, the 21st of January, Wotan's Day, David Lane's Day, yeah. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And that's where you send your donations for the show. And that's where you send your snail mail or whatever else you want to send. Just make sure it's not a small weapon of mass destruction going to get me in trouble. I've had enough trouble. Like that Elvis Presley song. If you're looking for trouble, you come to the right place. If you're looking for trouble, look me right in the face, man. Well, we've got another drizzly cold, but not too cold. But it goes right through you, I tell you that. Kind of day. No sunshine today, but no snow today either. How about that? Don't forget to go up there to resist.com to get a first-class racial education, because that's where it's at. We've got it all up there. And if we don't have it, let me know. And we'll try to put it up there if it don't cost too much. Yeah. Well, here's a letter to all our lone wolves from David Tate, the youngest member of the order, doing life down there in Charleston, Missouri. It's right in the corner there, the bottom of the state. Dear Terrible Tommy, white racial greetings. Been meaning to drop you a few lines to wish you a great new year and to thank you for the funds I received from you at the end of last month and the other day. Have let myself get behind in answering greetings from holiday season and the new year. Seems I get as many such greetings yearly as I have over the years past. It is a good way for me to measure that there's still interest in the cause, and as much as ever. Not much in the way of news with me, besides the usual same old winter has me indoors more than I would like. I can get my runs in very often, because it seems that every time I run in this cold weather, I get the sniffles and a sore throat, which inevitably turns into something more severe. Seems like the old Jew Benjamin Friedman was right about the Jews' plan to make the World War III a conflict with the Muslim world. Yeah, and Friedman was talking about that decades ago. The kikes have had to provoke them over and over, and the media feed the sheeple a million lies, but I can more easily picture it now than I could decades ago. Oy vey. No news otherwise. The family is well. Dad's still doing very good for 82 with Parkinson's. Stays active daily. Nephews and nieces taking college classes and shaping up into good examples of men and women we are proud to call kin. Your son John tells me his boys are doing well also. I call him monthly as time allows. Incidentally, John has gone to see David Tate and several other POWs over the years. And I believe he was just out to see David Tate this summer. I heard that after Gary Yarbrough finally got out of the Florence Max, he was assaulted by another inmate. I don't have any more news than that and hope that he is well, as I also hope Richard is well. Take care, and may 2015 bring us all the very best things and leaps and bounds towards our day of victory. Signed, David Tate. Yeah. So all you people out there who send your shekels in here, a certain amount of it goes to these POWs and each month on a money order, and you are responsible for keeping their chins up and keeping them in the struggle, really. So they thank you very much. I think I told you I just sent out 5 yesterday. Couldn't send them out on Martin Luther King Day, but sent them out yesterday. I have no late word on Gary Yarbrough, other than the Brits over there had a pretty fair-sized demonstration with some very big signs and everything in front of their government buildings over there to release Gary, and that was good. That's a good thing the Brits did. So thank you guys, and even though I'm not one who believes much in the demonstrations change anything, but the effort was what's important. The effort is what's important. Well, let's check in with Jim Hightower, that old populist out there in Texas. And I don't think he'd claim to be much of a racist, but he does do a lot of good when it comes to battling these oligarchs in Washington, D.C. He's going to talk about the new GOP Congress, Russia's big favors to Wall Street. Here we go.
Members of the brand spanking new Republican-controlled Congress are at all confused about why we the people consider them just another load of bovine excrement. They should look at their bill called Promoting Job Creation and Reducing Small Business Burdens. Only one day after being sworn in, the GOP introduced this deceitfully titled bill as its top priority must-pass piece of economic legislation. But forget jobs and small business. Those are just gauzy shams to hide the fact that this bill is nothing but a thank you gift to the party's sweethearts on Wall Street. A little background. First, having wrecked our economy with their reckless casino gambles in 2008, the banking giants had to swallow the 2010 Dodd-Frank reform bill that put some modest limits on their destructive gambling habit. Second, the banksters went running to Republicans, wailing that the Dodd-Frank wrist slaps were hurting their profits. Third, they pledged to back sympathetic GOP candidates over those mean old Democrats in the 2014 elections. Fourth, they did. And fifth, with Republicans now in charge, it's payback time for banksters. The chief pay clerk is Representative Michael Fitzpatrick, chair of the Financial Services Committee. He even tried to ram his Wall Street giveaway through the House with a rigged process that would have prevented any debate. No need to question what's in it, he averred, for it merely makes, quote, technical corrections to the Dodd-Frank reforms. This is Jim Hightower saying, yeah, technicalities like putting us taxpayers back on the hook for bailing out banksters when their speculative gambles fail, allowing them to take more risk with our money, and letting them hide more of their scams from public scrutiny. To learn the truth about the GOP's corrupt coddling of their thieving financial benefactors, go to ourfinancialsecurity.org.
Well, 6 murders in 8 hours in St. Louis. For many American cities, 6 murders would represent the yearly homicide total. If you remove the number of homicides committed by black people in major cities like Chicago, Memphis, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, New York City, and Philadelphia, the yearly number of homicides would be close to 6. 91% of known homicide suspects have been non-white since 2007. The night manager at the Drury Inn and Suites in St. Louis was murdered in a robbery attempt early Thursday, part of a bloody stretch that saw 6 people fatally shot since Wednesday night. The 6 were killed in 5 separate shootings. Now catch this. Police say that 3 of the shootings appeared to be over domestic issues where the victim knew the killer. One was a robbery, possibly over drugs, and one was a holdup at the hotel at Hampton Avenue near Interstate 44. It's been a very violent night, said St. Louis Police Captain Michael Sack. All our resources are being deployed. By Thursday afternoon, suspects had been arrested in 3 of the slayings. Police said warrants against the suspects would be sought Friday. And on it goes, boys and girls. A woman did the interview with me the other day and said, well, I thought there was a race war. I said, yeah, there is a race war. And whites have been losing for years. Well, this is sort of gross, but it's funny. Yeah. After reading the most embarrassing person you've ever had sex with, I'm reconsidering all those likes because holy horny shit show, people will fuck anything that moves. For example, because you must forever live with the knowledge that you humped a neo-Nazi. Late bloomer here, who's segued into having a lot of partners, and I only have one experience that I regret, and that's not about niggers. That was when I was on a mission to have a one-night stand, got really drunk, and didn't notice the Nazi tattoos on the dude I banged until I sobered up next morning. I plan to use it as a cautionary tale, however. Quote, if you want to have sex, perhaps do not get so drunk that you cannot tell the difference between a flower tattoo and a swastika. Because you must forever live with the knowledge that you humped a neo-Nazi. That's funny. Okay, and then I put something on here. TT says, what if they find out how many lone wolves they've had sex with? They'd really go nuts. But I don't think any lone wolves I know would go to a crummy bar and pick up on a slut and have sex in the alley or something like that. I know that certainly has never been my style, considering how many white women now are screwing black men. That gives you an idea of how bad it is when the worst thing that could happen is having sex with a neo-Nazi who probably wasn't even a National Socialist. Well, here's something else to be careful about. The Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office has asked vigilantes to please be careful about which gun owners they choose to attack after a black concealed carry permit holder was wrongly assaulted at a Florida Walmart. It's always got to be a Walmart or a liquor store. According to the Hillsborough Sheriff's Office, the 62-year-old Clarence Daniels was entering Walmart with his legally concealed firearm to buy coffee creamer on Tuesday when he was spotted by 43-year-old vigilante Michael Foster. I doubt whether the guy referred to himself as a vigilante. Foster, who is white, color him bad, had observed Daniels conceal the weapon under his coat before he came into the store. Now, what would you think? I mean, come on. Your first answer is right. You'd think he's going to rob the store or shoot somebody. When Daniels crossed the threshold, Foster tackled him and placed him in a chokehold, Hillsborough Sheriff's Office spokesman Larry McKinnon explained. Quote, he's got a gun, Foster reported, exclaiming. I have a permit, Daniels repeatedly shouted back. After a struggle, the men were separated. Deputies later arrived, and Foster was charged with battery. You see what? You see, that's a right-wing type situation. And I think if I saw a black man putting a gun under his coat and going into Walmart, I would just wait outside and see what happened. Because we can't afford to lose troops to this kind of problem. This proactive stuff is ridiculous. After a struggle, the men were separated. Deputies later arrived and Foster was charged with battery. Unfortunately, he tackled a guy that was a law-abiding citizen. Well, how do you know that? How do you have the entire record of this guy? We understand it's alarming for people to see other people with guns, but Florida has a large population of concealed weapons permit holders. The sheriff's office recommends that vigilante inclined citizens refrain from taking matters into their own hands, especially when an incident is gun related. Well, I wonder how many upstanding black citizens have you ever run into that carried a legal gun or had the paperwork for it? Probably 1 in 100. So anyhow, that's a warning to not get involved in most of this kind of stuff. Now, sure, he had a gun, and if he was going to rob the place, you're smart enough to stay out of his way. Let him rob a goddamn place. Walmart? Sure. Take all Walmart's money. The way they cheat the people who work at Walmart. This is the problem with good-hearted, wanting to do right white people. They just are not street savvy. And every time they try to get into things that are like street savvy, they get screwed up. And then they end up in jail. Like our friend Loeb in the Florida jail down prison for years and years and years. He may never get out because he was attacked by a black guy with a cement block or a big rock, and he had words with him, and he was sitting in his car, and so Loeb blew him away. Now he's sitting in jail for decades. So you got to be smart. You got to be careful. And if you're inclined, you've got to do something, well, learn how to do it quietly. And considering in Loeb's situation, who we send money to each month, he might have had time to start his car and just drive away. I mean, compared to doing maybe life in prison. If that sounds like chicken and cowardice, it's not. It's being smart to live another day.
It happened at a Walmart in Brandon around noon today. Clarence Daniels, who has a concealed weapons permit, tells us before walking into the store, he got his gun out of his glove box and put it in his waistband. Deputies say Michael Foster saw him do this. And when he walked into the Walmart, Foster yelled, "This guy has a gun," and started tackling Daniels.
Why is this guy attacking me? I have a concealed license. Why are you attacking me? You don't grab a person, throw them down on the ground without pulling them on the side and saying, "Do you have a concealed license?"
Deputies say Daniels was well within his rights to have that gun. Foster is now charged with battery.
So be careful out there. It's easy to fall into a bad, bad situation. Like I said before, you better be very careful about around these Christian fundamentalists, because for the most part, it's insanity. And I'm going to play you a little clip here. Now, you take notice, this guy never talks about saving or working for the white race.
Prison you for loving God. Before this story unfolds, American Christians need to be warned. Either we fight for the truth, or lose our right to preach the good word.
Kids, you tell kids in school, "Hey, you shouldn't steal." Well, why not? Because God says you shouldn't steal. That's why not. But if there is no God, what are you going to tell them? Because it's not nice. Well, that won't cut it. We've lost a whole generation because of our philosophy we're giving them, folks.
And evolution is not a well-confirmed theory. You got to define what you're talking about here. Texas has laws requiring textbooks to be accurate. So does Florida. So does Wisconsin. So does Alabama. So does California. Textbooks shall be factually accurate. That's all I want, is accuracy in textbooks, okay? Minnesota says a teacher shall not deliberately suppress or distort subject matter. Evolution is a dying religion, surviving only on text dollars. It's dead, folks. It didn't happen. No. The evolution theory is positively anti-science. There's not a shred of real evidence to support the theory other than oft-repeated lies.
If Americans just learned that the IRS was actually knowingly deceiving them, that would be enough for them to rise up and put a stop to it.
Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." What do we do? There are perilous times coming to this country and to the world. Real serious times. I think probably real soon.
For those that may not know, I'm Kent Hovind, and I speak mostly on creation, evolution, and dinosaurs, but the federal government put me in prison 99 months ago. On February 2nd will be the anniversary, 99 months. There are many, many, seriously, I guess illegal is the best word to use, things that are illegal, things that are wrong that the government did in my case in order to put me in prison.
The prosecutor that was literally prosecuting you in your original trial turned out to be just the worst kind of filthy pedophile.
After the trial, he flew to, he went and seized the church bank account, and then he flew to Detroit and got off the plane with a doll and a bottle of Vaseline and got arrested.
It's no longer just a political scandal. The IRS's alleged targeting of conservative groups is now the subject of a criminal investigation.
The FBI is coordinating with the Justice Department to see if any laws were broken in connection with those matters related to the IRS.
A just-released investigative report by the IRS's own watchdog says that more than half of the conservative groups targeted were asked for irrelevant and unnecessary information.
To the average American taxpayer, the question here is whether the Internal Revenue Service, which I just say collects that, is guilty of frightening incompetence.
The White House insists it had no idea any of this was going on.
Can you say categorically that nobody at the White House and nobody on the president's political team had any knowledge or was involved in any way in the targeting of Tea Party groups by the IRS?
Yes.
You emailed your subordinates about initiating a, parentheses, C4 project. And wrote, we need to be cautious so that it isn't a per se political project. Why were you worried about this being perceived as a political project?
On the advice of my counsel, I respectfully exercised my Fifth Amendment right and declined to answer that question.
I understood why all the senators I called refused to be interviewed. There is no law. And now you know what our political leaders and the courts have known for decades and have tried to cover up.
As much as we know that the folks at IRS have a thankless job because they have to go and tell their fellow Americans that they may be audited or they have to do this work understaffed, we have to maintain the confidence in the system because it's a voluntary system of payment of our taxes.
Agreed.
People are so afraid. The government and the media have gotten you guys so afraid of the IRS that you don't even buck them.
Let me tell you in one sentence what the IRS scandal is. The IRS, at the direction of some political elites in Washington, not in Cincinnati.
Cincy should probably not, all in caps, have these cases. What did you mean by Cincy should not have these cases?
On the advice of my counsel, I respectfully exercise my Fifth Amendment right and decline to answer.
Well, let's stop there because it gets confusing. This guy, Hoving, was a nut job who was trying to develop some kind of creationist theme park, I think, down in Florida. And he did some very bizarre stuff. I'm not going to go into all of it. And I'm not going to go into arguing whether his prosecutor was a pedophile, because he may have been. But I do know that the black churches take total advantage of the IRS. Almost any guest that goes into a black church is political. And, of course, all during the civil wrong struggle, they use the black churches as a platform for their black racism. So now, and I can prove that the conservative right-wingers, who are not our friends, some of them may give us lip service, but in the end they're not our friends because they're bazonkly off on this religious fundamentalist stuff, waiting for the baby Jesus to come back. And they have meetings all over this country now that are political in their churches. I know because I've attended them. There's one outfit here in my community that claims to be simply wanting to have good government and all that kind of stuff. They have them in churches, and the preachers are all in on it, and so the IRS, of course, is going to go after them once in a while. I mean, look, the IRS went after Dr. Pierce, went after Ben Klassen, and so we've been persecuted, too. Our friends have been persecuted. But that doesn't change the fact that these churches are blatantly disobeying the IRS rules and so forth. So anyhow, that was what this was sort of about. But the conservative right-wingers, they make heroes. And these guys, they'll never, ever say they believe in the best interests of the white race. They may say it behind closed doors, but these hypocritical white Christians are never to be trusted. And you're going to find that more and more as if the government begins to more and more zero in on you and I as racial separatists and non-believers or whatever. That's why I advised Ben Klassen, forget going for tax exemption. And I would have told Dr. Pierce the same thing, but Dr. Pierce didn't much listen to Tom Metzger. That's what I told him. I said, you'll never get it, and that's why I've never tried to get it. Because they got you squarely in their sights, and when they want to come after you, they do. So I've paid taxes on every dollar that I've taken in over the years. Is that because I love the IRS? No, but the best way to stay out of their sights is just pay the tax. Well, here's another nigger in the news story. A Michigan man was sentenced to 6 months in jail. 6 months in jail this week for domestic violence after he punched his then-girlfriend and beat her with a puppy until the animal died. MLive reported that after Timothy Tucker punched his girlfriend in the eye in November, he began to assault her with a two-week-old puppy. Court documents said that the woman found fecal matter from the dead dog on her after the attack. In court on Tuesday, the victim told the circuit judge, Alexander C. Lipsy, that she was blind for weeks after the assault. She said that she struggled with depression, that the attack put me in a real dark place. And I'll bet you $100 that she was white. Let's go on. Let's explore that story a little bit more.
A man will spend 6 months behind bars after pleading guilty to assaulting his girlfriend. Now, during that assault, a two-week-old puppy was killed, a puppy that police say he used as a weapon.
Fox 17's Troy Campbell has more from investigators this evening. Troy?
Yeah, investigators in Kalamazoo County say Timothy Tucker, he has been in trouble before for horrific crimes just like this, and they say last November he assaulted his girlfriend with that puppy. County Prosecutor's Office says 51-year-old Timothy Tucker assaulted his former girlfriend last November, causing her to have a swollen eye. During the assault, a two-week-old puppy was killed after Tucker used the small dog to strike his girlfriend.
That a prison sentence be imposed in this case. As Mr. Reister indicated, due to the level of violence in Mr. Tucker's prior criminal history, we thought that prison was an appropriate consequence.
On Tuesday, Tucker was sentenced to 6 months in jail, with about two of those months being given as credit for time already served since the incident. Tucker is no stranger to law enforcement.
Mr. Tucker was also charged as an habitual offender as a result of his prior felony convictions.
Tucker was first charged with domestic violence back in 1997. He was arrested and charged for the same thing again in 2001 and 2004. In October of 2006, Tucker was arrested on a felony charge of fleeing from a police officer. He was back in court in 2008 after writing fake checks. Tucker in trouble again for domestic violence in May of 2013. And his fifth and most recent domestic violence arrest took place last November. The Kalamazoo County Prosecutor's Office says after being released from jail, Tucker will be placed in the Swift and Sure Sanctions program, which is essentially a more strict probation that will keep a close eye on this habitual offender.
What I would call an enhanced probation program. It requires that there be more frequent contacts, more intense supervision of the person that's on probation.
And the judge also said during sentencing today that Tucker has, quote, potential anger issues. Also, as a part of the deal to plead guilty to felony assault, the charge for killing the puppy was dropped. Live in the control room tonight, Troy Campbell, Fox 17 News.
Well, since his girlfriend was probably, I can't say for sure because they don't show it, and the fact that they don't show her leads me to believe she was white, I feel more sorry for the puppy myself. I'd have given him 5 years for the puppy. But this is an example of these so-called equal people. Now, I know that white people do bad things, but the percentage-wise, the black people do, there's no comparison. But yet these liberal sites on the web are always telling about the bad things white people do, which in comparison is very small to what Negroes do, what blacks do, what niggers do. And you know it, I know it. Most people know it, but they're afraid to talk about it, which is ridiculous, because I'm not afraid to talk about it. I'll talk about it anytime I please, any place I want to please. Now, we got two halves of an evil situation, and that is the Koch brothers on the right and Soros on the left, all billionaires and all screwing this country up and a lot of the world up. I'm going to play you just a little bit on the Koch brothers here. Okay, let's go.
In our country today, income inequality is getting worse and worse. Something's wrong, and people know it. Even a dog knows the difference between being stumbled over and being kicked.
I've never, ever in all my years in government seen anything like this. I don't admire the Koch brothers. I'm not against people who make money. That's fine. But what they do with their money isn't fine.
Yeah, but
fine.
He admires
the Koch brothers. They are
Soros.
Bound and determined to do away with government.
Billionaire brothers Charles and David Koch are the poster boys for the top 1%, using their money and power to fuel the growing inequality in America. Day in and day out, we see the Kochs using their billions to purchase politicians and policy, taking a terrible toll on democracy as they knock down the middle class, stomping on poor people. The Koch boys claim to be self-made men. Yeah, made by their father Fred, who made his fortune in the oil business in the Soviet Union of the 1930s. Stalin himself brought Fred Koch into the Soviet Union to build oil refineries and teach them how to be oil engineers. Fred Koch came back to the United States after taking money from the Soviet Union and used that money to start his own oil empire and accumulated millions in a short time. Fred Koch wrote screeds against the civil rights movement, saying that it was communist-driven and that white children should not go to school with black children. He said it would lead to the mongrelization of the races.
Well, they were right about that. They were right about the civil rights situation, but what have they done since then? Rip off the country. Why didn't they put a lot of that money of theirs into fighting this bastardization of the races? Now, Soros, the billionaire on the other side, he does that 24/7. So essentially, we've got a system run by multi-billionaires. You can have it right, you can have it left, but you got to take one or the other or go fish. Oh my goodness. Oh, this is horrible. Today, Microsoft Windows 10 is unveiled. If anything, if it's as bad as 7 and 8, and I guess there must have been a 9 in there too, I don't want nothing to do with it. I'll stick to other types. Well, here they say, here's some good news for Windows fans the world over. I don't know whether there's so many Windows fans. Sort of a force type situation. Microsoft will allow you to upgrade from Windows 7, Windows 8.1, or Windows Phone 8 for free to Windows 10 during today's unveiling of Windows 10 for consumers. Terry Myerson, Executive Vice President of Microsoft's Operating Systems Group, revealed that the company will allow users of its most recent operating system, 8.1, to upgrade free to its upcoming operating system in perpetuity. The 600 million odd users of Windows 7 will have a year to take advantage of the full upgrade. Well, I'm not no expert, but I'm telling you, I think I'd wait a while if I did anything more with Windows. back when we had XP and before, guys like me that are not computer experts found it reasonably easy to operate and easily to get information to simply change something. But 8 was horrible, and so I went back to 7, and 7 I don't like either. There's things that happen on there that just are ridiculous. We need operating systems. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. But they don't want to keep it simple. It's always some new gadget or something that just don't make sense and is very difficult to operate. If you're a computer expert, like a lot of the kids are, that's fine. But I guess they're trying to weed us old farts out. I just wish we could go back to XP and support it, you know. Hell, I'd even welcome a Chinese version that was simple to operate. Simplicity is the genius of technology. Complicated situations are bad. They're bad whether you're building a gun or building a car or whatever. Keep it simple, stupid. Well, here's another tip that you might use. Okay, sure, 15 minutes could save you 15% on your car insurance, but 5 minutes reading this column could save you 50% on your ebooks, apps, movies, music, and TV shows. Why? Because there's a new development from Apple, Amazon, and other digital vendors, family sharing. This feature lets you share your own online purchases with other people, even if they have their own separate accounts. In theory, these other people are your family members, but there's nothing to stop you from filling those slots with, say, your friends or roommates. Okay, let's see. We've got to go down here a little farther. If you and your family members currently use the same Apple or Amazon account, these new sharing features may seem fairly pointless. Up to 10 of you can already freely share the same pool of books, movies, apps, and music on the same Apple account. Up to 6 of you can download the same Kindle books on the same Amazon account. In some cases, publishers set different limits. But that approach, sharing a single Apple or Amazon account, can get messy. For example, if you and a loved one are reading the same Kindle book on different devices, you'll constantly lose your place in the book because the service can't tell you apart. And if you're sharing your Apple account and password with your kids, then you have no control over what they're buying on your credit card. And of course, your iCloud email, calendar, dress book, and iMessages are no longer private. So there you go, another bit of information from the tremendously intelligent computer technology expert, Terrible Tommy. Now, I know I'm going to get some comment on that, and comment is welcome, especially from my webmaster. Oh boy, here we go again. KKK materials distributed in Post Falls, Oregon. According to the Coeur d'Alene Press, about 65 Ku Klux Klan flyers were placed on the windshields of vehicles at a Post Falls apartment complex on Monday night, according to the cops. Now, you're really getting something there. You're really going places now. Oh, man. The blind are continually led by the blind in the right wing. They fall for these so-called leaders that make sure they never have enough information to do the right thing. Now they found a bunch of KKK flyers found in the area's towns in Egg Harbor City, Hamilton Township, and Galloway Township outside Atlantic City. Yeah. Okay. Where else? All over the place. Oh, and they hit Santa Ana, California, too. More than 36 pieces of Ku Klux Klan propaganda were found in an Orange County neighborhood. I don't question their zeal, but I question their brain power and think that's going to get them anywhere. It doesn't get them anywhere. In fact, the other side loves it. One of the main nuts running around today is Tom Robb, Reverend, the Right Reverend Tom Robb down there in Arkansas, who put up a big billboard down there about the KKK. Tom Robb is the guy who said that that Bob Matthews got what he deserved. I tangled with this son of a bitch during the trial in Fort Smith, Arkansas, when he and a couple of other people that I'm not going to mention right now demanded that if I spoke, I couldn't say anything good about the men that were already in prison that were included in this court trial. And instead of beating the shit out of them, I said, well, then I won't speak at all. If I can't speak for all the prisoners, I won't speak at all. That was Tom Robb, and he's done a lot of crap like that. And he's getting fairly wealthy or well-to-do with this phony clan down there in Arkansas. Of course, always hiding behind the Word of God. If it gets too hot for him, he says, well, it's all about Jesus and God. If I'd have told the skinheads that night what he said to me in private, along with a couple of other well-known right-wing leaders, he probably wouldn't have got out of that room alive. But I, in respect for Dick Butler and Robert Miles and the other prisoners, I kept my mouth shut and didn't tell them until later. And then they wanted to go back and kill them. One thing I'm becoming more and more concerned about is I'm getting a lot of letters back from POWs who I've never had contact with that are talking about they're studying Christian identity. Well, Christian identity, in which I was an adherent for some time between 1971 or 2 and 1980, and then, of course, I found it was fallacious and the whole religious idea was a waste of time. And they're getting pumped full of a lot of nonsense. And I'm going to do my best to counteract this by giving these POWs the straight scoop on race and so forth, and devoid of all this nonsense about Jesus being a Jew when he didn't even exist and all that kind of crap. I hope you realize why this KKK distribution stuff is all over the press. It's all over the press, all over the world, in fact. Well, who does that serve? You don't see what we're saying all over the press and all over the world. No, of course, they use this as a battering ram against people who believe in racial separation by running these news articles about 3 or 4 or 5 or 100 leaflets put out by the Ku Klux Klan, which has no real value at all as far as a news item. I know how it's done, too. I remember those years. You put out a few hundred leaflets, and then you run home to see yourself on television on the nightly news. There's still the same thing going on. I love it when professional sports becomes the victim of their own greed with hiring all the niggers over the decades. Professional athletes offered candid advice and transparent reflections on money and sports during one session of the Rainbow Push Coalition, 18th Annual Wall Street Project Economic Summit, which means Jesse, which bottom line means Jesse Jackson's on a shakedown cruise again. The three-day event was held January 13th to 15th in New York City at a plush hotel, I'll bet you. According to the rainbowpush.org, the Wall Street Project challenged corporate America to end the multi-billion dollar trade deficit. And the corporations, Tommy says, will pay him off. With minority vendors and consumers, and works to ensure equal opportunity for diverse employees. In other words, special privileges for niggers and others. During the economic summit, a panel of professional athletes was assembled to discuss some of the financial goals and challenges of today's professional athlete. They use a lot of fancy words to say we got to shake these bastards down. These Jews that run own these teams and these other white assholes that run these teams, we got to figure a way of shaking them down. We're only getting $100 million a year for playing dribbling goddamn basketball. We need more. Man, I hope they try to get $100 million or $200 million or $300 million. Break these professional teams. It's called Niggerball. Many of the panelists were transparent as they offered the audience a look into some of the financial choices they've made over the years. Now, remember, white people create this stuff. I mean, white people make it work. White people spend all the money at these games, most of the money. So if you don't like niggers outflanking you economically all the time, then quit paying to see these games. Quit playing nigger ball and playing niggerphilia. Because you get, just like with Oprah Winfrey, make her the most richest female in the country. You know, it's white women did it. You can't blame it on the blacks. It was white women and white Jew corporate people. Likewise, the pros were honest when discussing the lack of financial literacy. Well, they should have said literacy, period. And business skills many athletes possess when entering the billion-dollar industry. Yeah, they don't know how to count. They have to have some Jew person keep track of their money. And then the Jew robs them. You know that old joke? Well, I won't tell the joke, but it's funny about these guys got three wishes from the genie in the bottle. And one black guy said, I want $1 million. So he gets $1 million immediately. The Mexican says, I want $1 million tacos. And he gets million tacos immediately. And the Jew comes along and says, what do you want? Just show me which direction that nigger went in. He's got $1 million. Ex-NFL player Anthony Simmons, retard, shared with the audience his memory of his first year playing and how quickly he ran through his money. With the women, the wine, and the songs, and the sports cars, and all that shit. Quote, I spent every dime, he said. Well, who are you going to blame that on? I mean, if you got paid millions of dollars and you spent it all, whose fault is that, you stupid burrhead? Simons went on to his then agent and asked for a $7,000 loan, but was turned down. Another Jew, probably. His coach was gracious enough to loan him the money, probably some white Christian or maybe liberal coach. Former NFL player Deion Struthers said that he was cut off after only playing with the Denver Broncos for one season. Struthers returned to the University of Southern California and finished his degree in business. The former athlete now enjoys a successful career in marketing. Struthers told the audience of 50 participants that they should strive to understand the power of relationships and be able to identify the opportunity. Well, the opportunity is you get the money and you put it in the bank. It's simple. And live a normal, cautious, you know, upper middle class lifestyle. You don't buy big houses on the beach. You don't buy Maseratis. You don't buy white whores. Not only were the former professional athletes on the panel, but current defensive end for the Oakland Raiders, Lamar Woodley, shared his insight on the issue of money in sports. He said that when he joined the league, he reached out to seasoned players to get advice about money and wisdom that could be instrumental in his career. He was told by one experienced ball player, quote, you have to take advantage while you are hot, unquote. So I spent all my money on wine, women, and song. Woodley said that many of the athletes in the league don't take advantage of their brand and finances. Quote, guys in the locker room aren't talking about business, unquote, he said. Well, no, they're talking about white whores and big fancy cars and drugs. Woodley, on the other hand, said that when he leaves the game, he won't have any debt. Well, that's a smart Negro. That's a Mr. Smart Negro. Other topics discussed by the panelists were the option of retired NFL players to return to college free tuition costs. Well, why you and nobody else? building relationships with the seasoned athletes that possess strong financial literacy. That's about one or two. The importance of asking questions and staying abreast of all aspects of one's financial portfolio and the steps to be taken to be debt-free. Telling a Negro to be debt-free. There's probably a lot of working-class Negroes that are debt-free, but not ball players, not nigger ball players. Yeah. Anyhow, the winner was, in this corner, Jesse the Man Jackson, who went home from the New York meeting with millions. And now he's going to use this gathering of Negro athletes to coerce the owners to give him lots of money to calm down his players who are upset because it's everybody's fault that they made millions of dollars and went broke. It's everybody else's fault. But Jesse, he's the man. He got the bankroll and went back to Chicago. Oh, shit. And it's all because of you niggerball-loving white sons of bitches out there that I despise. Did you wonder why Negroes seem to be disappearing in Chicago, or at least parts of them? The investigation is looking into the activities of the Biological Resource Center of Illinois and International Biological in Detroit, according to reports. There are claims that the company sold bodies and human parts that were donated for medical research on a thriving black market for body parts. It seems that the remains were not only being sold to buyers in the United States, but also to clients on the international market. I think they're building Frankensteins all over the world. Hundreds of corpse remains that were intended to be sold on the market were discovered when FBI agents, in collaboration with investigators from the Centers for Disease Control, raided two crematoriums operated by the Nazi Crematorium Services Incorporated, located in a Chicago suburb. I don't think they're waiting till a lot of these niggers are dead. I think that they're newly dead Negroes in the turf wars in Chicago, and they're taking them in and chopping them up and shipping their parts all over the place. Want to bet? The raid was culmination of a year-long investigation that included several states into the sales and trafficking of human body parts that originated in Detroit. There are claims that thousands of human parts that were supposed to be embalmed were instead put on ice with the intention of selling them to Biological Resource Center, a facility for families who wish to donate a body for medical research because they don't have any money to bury their loved ones in the right manner, I guess. And, you know, remember the Frankenstein movies, how they ran out of dead corpses they dug up and then they started killing people just to get their bodies to experiment? Dr. Frankenstein. During the raid, yellow crime scene tape was plastered around the scene of the authorities. Some of them, with the hazmat suits, were removing boxes and bags of evidence. The evidence included human heads, nappy heads, limbs, and other body parts that had been donated to the facilities. People involved found a lot of boxes full of penises. No, shut up, Metzger. What the hell's the matter with you? They were destined to go to other countries and be grafted onto white people. A prevalent fear is that some of the body fragments... Shut up. I'm doing a radio show here. I've got to put a switch on that damn thing. Okay, here we go. A prevalent fear is that some of the body fragments were donated and then sold may have been from diseased cadavers. Ugh. Thus posing a huge risk to the public's health. The FBI hasn't made any comments apart from confirming that there has been an ongoing investigation. The probe was centered into the black community in, Oregon? Not too many black people there. Arizona, ooh, there's quite a few there, and Michigan. But I think most of it was done in the ghetto, meaning getting those body parts. We're going to build us a super basketball man. He's going to be 15 foot tall. That's right. And if you missed it, I want to remind you that Jew-Hungarian Soros put up $33 million for all these organizations to go out and demonstrate. Bankrolled at $33 million. No wonder it seems like they're having giant demonstrations and everything. They're buying them all pizza. Well, I'm sorry to say, the clock has run out here, and I'm going to have to get out of here and get ready for Thursday. And if I didn't offend you today, tune in tomorrow, and I'll figure another better way to offend you. And share a lot of this stuff with the right wing and the conservatives. They'll love it. I need an iTunes expert. Whenever you go to something that you put into your file to save, most of it comes up, the song, whatever it is, could not be used because the original file could not be found. Would you like to locate it? And this is when I have placed the information on the same computer that it comes up with that. And it's ridiculous. It makes iTunes almost unusable unless you're putting straight commercial CDs into it. Anybody know what that's caused by and how I can get rid of it? I hate it. I've lost all kinds of good stuff because of that problem. I need something where if it's in there, it's in there. It's not going to go away unless you want it to go away.
You know what would be great for a guy like me? Just to be in a coma. Would that be great? Boy, you know, you just crap out, nothing to do all day. You breathe through a fucking tube, they feed you through a tube, and nothing to do. That's really living, you know what I mean? No phone calls coming in, nobody dropping by unexpectedly. And if they do drop by, you're completely unaware of it. Because you're in a fucking coma, and you're practically clinically dead. And you don't have to listen to their stupid bullshit. Their stupid bullshit. Like about their new ride-around lawnmower with the two-tone horn and the GPS in case they get lost on the lawn. And their boss and their job and their car.